Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Hello, Watoto friends and family. Thank you very, very much for joining us for a service today. Wherever you are, I hope you're being blessed. Now, for those of you who live in Uganda, you know that we have another wave of the COVID-19 pandemic. In fact, this time round, I know more people who have been affected by it than the previous times. And the government has come up with some restrictions, which include suspending church gatherings and also schools, banning school programs. So here's what I want to request you, my friends. Let's take care. Let's take care of ourselves and our loved ones by following those health guidelines so we can stop the spread of this COVID-19 virus. But for those of us who are Christians, here's what I want to request. Let's take this matter before God. Let's call on God and ask Him to break the curse of COVID-19 off of our planet. He promised to heal our land when we pray. So let's take this matter to God, and I know He will set this planet free of this pandemic. Well, we're carrying on our series today on family. Family matters. If you missed any of our messages, you can find them on our website. And today, I want to talk about a very important subject that is even very close to God's heart, and that is parenting. The parenting mandate. And why is it close to God's heart? Because God is a parent. He is our Heavenly Father. He is a good, good Father. He is a parent and He knows all about parenting. So the best place to turn to learn about parenting is God's Word. Get your Bible, get your notebook, and let's get ready to dive into God's Word. Now, Father, I pray You will anoint Your Word, bless it, let it bring life and insight. In Your name I pray. And all God's people said, Amen. I want to start by reading scripture. And before I read, this message is actually very relevant because right now our children are home with us, for those who are in Uganda. So pay close attention. And this is for biological parents, but also guardians and spiritual parents. So this message will be a blessing to all of you. Psalm 127 verses 3-5 says this: children are a gift from the Lord, a reward from a mother's womb. A young man's sons are like arrows in a soldier's hand. The man who fills his quiver with sons will be very blessed, the Bible says. He will never be defeated when he opposes his enemy at the city gates. This scripture will only be true if we practice godly parenting. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says this: teach children how they should live, and they will remember it all their lives. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Parenting leaves an inheritance. Now, this one is going to address both parents and children. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2-4 says, for the commandment, honor your father and your mother, was the first of the 10 commandments with a promise attached. This is not a suggestion. Honoring our parents is not a suggestion, my friends. It's a command. And here's the promise. Verse 3, you will prosper and live a long, full life if you honor your parents. Then verse 4, fathers, don't exasperate your children, but raise them up with loving discipline and counsel that brings the revelation of our Lord. These are great scriptures when it comes to parenting. And I want to say that parenting is actually a privilege from God. He gives us the opportunity to participate in raising our children, who are ultimately a gift from God. You see, the parenting mandate is actually a stewardship mandate, of which we will be held accountable by God Himself. Now, today, parenting, unfortunately, is seen by many as a burden instead of it being a blessing. And I can understand why. Because you see, parenting comes with huge responsibility and can be very challenging. Sometimes we do everything right as parents and it turns out wrong. But here's the thing. In the short time, it feels burdensome. But in the long run, it is absolutely rewarding. Oh, the joys and the blessings of godly parenting. And some of them include a good legacy. My friends, you will never buy legacy from a shop. Legacy is built by godly parenting. A good name comes from good parenting, well-nurtured children who will bring you grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Good, godly parenting breeds healthy society. You know what? Tomorrow's society is dependent on today's parenting. What we see today in society is a reflection of parenting in the past. That's why this subject is so important. Now, we also tend to parent the way we ourselves were parented. And for many of us, our parenting experience has been basically two things. We see parenting as provision or punishment. And at this point, I really want to celebrate parents and guardians who work very, very hard to provide for their children. And children, we need to thank our parents. In fact, today, take a moment and say thank you to your parents and guardians for providing. You never know the sacrifices they make to make sure we have the things we have in life. So please do thank them. And parents, thank you so, so much. But you know, sometimes in an attempt to provide, we work hard, we do our businesses so hard, and then forget to actually raise our children, and we end up losing them. I like what Pastor Gary sometimes says to us here at Watoto. You know, as pastors, we are fathers. He says to us, and he rephrases what Jesus said, that what does it profit a man to gain the entire world and lose his own sons and daughters? So yes, we must provide, but let's not forget our parental mandate of raising these children. Now, when it comes to punishment, that's another way some people think about parenting, that it's about punishing, and the only meaningful interaction some parents have with their children is when the children are caught doing something wrong. Parents, let me give you a little secret. If you're like this, you have a title that your children have for you. You may think you're dad and mom, but they have a secret title, and this is the title. When they think about you, they think about you as the CPO, the Chief Punishment Officer. And that's why many times when you come back home, everybody runs for cover, including the cats and the dog and the rats. Why? Because here comes the CPO. Because we think parenting is just about punishment. But today, I want to go to the Bible and bring you two key aspects on parenting that are often ignored, underestimated, yet will help us fulfill our parenting mandate in a way that honors God and in a way that helps us to raise godly offspring. And these are amazing principles. I want you to think about them like a game guide. For those of you who have done a safari, there's a game guide who helps you explore the wild and shows you the animals, but usually the game guide is also watching out for any danger they are regard. And these are the two roles that I want to talk about today. Number one, as a parent, you are a destiny guide for your children. But secondly, as a parent, you are a destiny guard for your children. Let's talk about the role of guiding our children. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. This is God speaking to Abraham. He says, I have singled him out so that, singled Abraham out, so that he will direct, guide his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then God says, I will do for Abraham all that I have promised. Wow, we see God giving a mandate to direct, to guide his family. He's giving it to Abraham, but it is also the same for us. You know what, parents? We need to be the most trusted guides for our children. And as a guide, we need to have the primary influence when it comes to our children. And unfortunately today, we get so busy and delegate the guidance to churches or schools or any other adult that's taking care of our children. Now, these have a place, but you are the primary guide for your children. And so, apart from guiding our children in the walk, their walk with the Lord, which is absolutely critical, there's three other things we need to guide our children in. And the first one is this: we need to guide our children when it comes to developing life values. Values are the foundation on which character and behavior is built. Values that are formed at a very young age become like software that drives how people act and behave in their adulthood. And so I want to think about values this way. Values are roots and behavior is the fruit. When it comes to what kind of values we need to instill in our children, develop in our children, the only source and the best source by far is the Bible. Because it's written by a good father who is the author of life. Let me give you an example of some values we need to really bring in our children's lives. The fruit of the Spirit is an example from Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 to 23. Great values for life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Beautiful life value. Joy. Man, we need to help our children learn this a value of joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. My friend, these are 9 virtues which are amazing life values that we need to impart in our children. In fact, the Bible says, against such things there is no law. So as a parent, you're a guide, helping children develop life values. And we help them to develop them by teaching these values to them. And the best time to teach is when life is happening. But the best of all is modeling these virtues. That's when these children begin to learn. You know, this idea of do what I say, not what I do, it doesn't work when it comes to parenting. And so, when we are passing on values, by the way, there's a place for discipline and correction. I gotta say that. Especially where there's repeated or intentional violation of these values. Proverbs chapter 13 and verses 24 says, those who spare the rod of discipline actually hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Proverbs 23 and verses 13 to 14 says, don't fail to discipline your children. The rod of punishment won't kill them. Physical discipline, in fact, may well save them from death. So there's a place for discipline and correction, but we must exercise caution and do it in a very reasonable and appropriate manner. Not out of anger and used as a way of getting at our children. No, use them as teaching moments. So as a guide, we help our children develop life values. But the other thing we need to help our children in is to grow life skills as a guide. I mean, skills like communication, conflict resolution, teamwork and collaboration. Those things are best learned from home as a parent teaches their children. Leadership skills are developed from home. Give them responsibilities, financial stewardship, learning how to do some practical things like cleaning up and making sure they learn how to cook or fix things. I love it when I watch my children learn to do these things. They learn them from home. Not from anywhere else, my friends. And have fun while doing these things, my friends. So we pass on life skills to our children as parents. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. The other role that we have as a guide is to actually help them to discover their life purpose. Every single child has a God-given purpose. Every child. No child has no purpose. Because God has given them that purpose. And our role as parents, as guides, is to help them discover that purpose. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. God speaking to Jeremiah, God, a good father, a young boy, here's what he says. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. What is God saying? Before a child is even conceived, God knows them. That's why abortion is murder and is ungodly. Because before that baby is formed, God knows them. And he has a purpose for them and an assignment for them. And our role as parents is to help them discover that assignment, that purpose. Now, sometimes the picture we have of our children and what they could become is different from their God-given purpose. And oftentimes when this happens, it creates tension. Sometimes instances, it creates conflict between a parent and a child. But here's what I want to advise you, parents. Let's make sure that as we guide our children to discover their purpose, we are not imposing what we think their purpose should be in their lives, because they are ultimately from God and God has the best picture for their lives. You know, when I think about such a scenario, I think about Joseph and Mary, the earthly parents of Jesus. They knew Jesus was a special child, but they also had a time when there was a tension between Jesus' call and purpose and their desire. One time they went for a Jewish festival in Jerusalem at the temple, big event, families used to gather together, and Jesus went missing. For 3 days they looked for him, and where was Jesus? He was in the temple, in the house of God, having discussions with the religious leaders, because that was God's call for his life. And here, let's just see the tension that was happening in Luke chapter 2 when the parents finally phoned him. 48 to 52. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Now, if it was an African mother, I don't think it would be like this. CPO would have arrived. But verse 49, Jesus said, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house? This is the purpose for my life." But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And verse 51 says, "Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother," listen parents, "his mother treasured all these things in her heart." There are some things our children do that appoint us to their purpose. We need to treasure them in our hearts, because at the right time, they will reveal the purpose for which God created our children. So parents, we are guides, guiding our children to develop life values, to grow in life skills, but also to discover their life purpose. Now, our second role as parents is we are to guard our children, to protect them. Our children live in a very wild world, and we must protect them from anything that will try to rob them from their destiny and could harm their destiny. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 to 9 says, "Stay alert, parents. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But stand firm against him and be strong in your faith." Don't let go of your role as a guard for your children. Let me talk about some things we need to protect our children from and guard our children against. One is negative influence through peers. Be careful who your children interact with. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 says, "Don't be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits." Man, let's watch out. Get to know your children's friends. Do they share the same values you're trying to instill in your children? Protect them from these bad influences. There's also the media today that is influencing our children in very negative ways. A lot of uncensored programs. And by the way, these days, even cartoons are not innocent. They are promoting some ungodly values. Watch what you expose your children to, even through media. Don't just give them phones and not monitor them or just let them be on TV. Watch out. One time we started to recognize, my wife and I, Vanita and I, began to recognize that our children were beginning to behave like the cartoons they were watching. And so they would begin to have anger outbursts and they were becoming more violent, because that's what was seen as cool in the cartoons. And we said to ourselves, we're not here to raise cartoons. We're here to raise godly children, and so we now monitor whatever our children watch. We are preventing any negative influence from happening to them. The other thing we need to protect our children from is abuse. So much physical and emotional and sexual abuse is happening in the families, especially during this time when families have to be together. Parents, let's watch out. And most of the abuse cases are actually from trusted adults and relatives around our children. Let's be careful. This enemy, the devil, is after our children. The other very important thing we need to protect when it comes to our children is their self-worth and their self-image. As a parent, protect that. It's so delicate, my friends, because our children live in a world with so much competition and comparison and bullies and people teasing them, and this begins to hurt their image and rob them of their worth and their value. People who say negative things to our children, watch out, because words carry power, either to bring life or death. And if you can, confront anybody trying to speak negative and down on your children. Stop them. Don't let them carry on. And don't join in the party and begin to tear down your children. It hurts so much, my friends. Create an environment at home that is a positive one, one of faith and affirmation, so that when our children are beat at school and told all these different things, when they come back home, you tell them they are a champion. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has a plan for their lives. These things build their self-image and worth. Today we have a lot of people who are insecure because their parents and guardians didn't protect their self-worth and their self-image. And when you're insecure, this insecurity can rob you of God's destiny for your life. Parents, let's protect our children's self-image and self-worth. In guarding, I want to also conclude with this, because this is a spiritual battle. We got to pray for our children. We got to believe God. We got to fight for them on our knees. I love the story of Job in the Bible. The Bible says Job used to offer sacrifices for his children. Why? He knew that sometimes they would make a mess and he had to come in between his children and God and pray for them. Parents, there's power when you pray. You hear stories of people saying, oh, my grandmother used to pray for me. My mother used to pray for me. My dad used to pray for me. When we pray, God goes to do the things that we ourselves as parents cannot do, because we can't be with our children everywhere. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says this: our fight is not against people on earth. We are fighting against the rulers and authorities and the powers of this world's darkness. We are fighting against the spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly places that are trying to rob our kids' destinies. We do that through prayer. Pray for your children. Put a hedge of protection around them. Where we are not, God is there. And God is all-powerful. He's ever-present. And He's all-knowing. He knows what's best for our children. So we guard our children by praying for them. What have I been saying today when it comes to our parenting mandate? As parents, our responsibility includes two things: guiding our children in discovering life values, in growing in their life skills, and also discovering their life purpose. But secondly, as parents, we are guards, guarding our children against negative influences, abuse, and guarding them against a loss of their self-worth, and covering them spiritually through prayer. When we do these things, we will fulfill our parenting mandate in a way that will honor God, but also in a way that will help us to raise godly offspring. I know parenting is tough. It's not easy. And it's true, we can do everything right, and it still turns out wrong. But parents, let's not give up on this mandate. In fact, right now, I want to pray for you. A parent, a guardian, a spiritual dad, spiritual mom, you have a huge mandate, and it's not easy. And I want to pray even as I close today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you for this great mandate and privilege of parenting. Lord, we acknowledge it's not easy. But with your grace and with your principles from your word, we believe we will do it in a way that honors you. Lord, I pray for that parent who is struggling to provide, to protect, to guide their children. Grant them the grace, I pray, so they can raise their children. That parent who is single and trying to raise their children, you know them. You promise to be the father to the fatherless. Come alongside them as they raise those beautiful gifts, I pray. Lord, I also at this time pray for our children who live in a very wild world that is trying to knock them down and push them off the right track. Lord, would you put a cover around them while at home, while at school, while in the community? Protect them, God, because you have a beautiful plan for their lives. And we refuse every negative impact and plan of the enemy that will try to attack our children. We declare that they will be great and mighty in the land. And Lord, even as I pray for parents and children, I know there are some who could be watching now and do not know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I ask in this very moment, reach out to them. Man, if that's you, you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, here's what he says. Believe in him, receive him, and you will become a child of God. God will be your Father. If that's you, would you just repeat this simple prayer after me? Say, dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I ask you to forgive my sin. Make me a child of God. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you're now a child of God. And I want to welcome you to the family of God. Please write to us, because we would like to get in touch with you. Write to us, connect@waterlochurch.com, or you can write to us on the numbers on your screen, and somebody will be in touch. Today, you are born again. You are part of God's great family. Thank you for making that decision. And parents, man, let's be those destiny guides. Let's be those destiny guards. By the grace of God, we will raise godly offspring. God bless you and have a great week.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@waterlochurch.com.